Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. SEO. Everyone's heard those three letters. What does it stand for? Search engine optimization. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of old school stuff that still works. There's a lot of new school stuff you need to be aware of. We're going to talk all about that in today's episode Startup Hustle, which is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult, and Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and has the platform to help you manage that team. Go to Fullscale.io to learn more. With me today, I've got Kevin Roy, and Kevin is the founder and CEO of Green Banana SEO. If you want to learn more about what they're doing, just scroll on down. There's a link in the show notes for Green Banana SEO. It's right next to the Fullscale link. Straight out of Beverly, Massachusetts, Kevin, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and I'm looking, you know, this is always a fun topic. I'm old enough to remember the Wild West days of SEO, and have been subjected to a penalty here or there. So I've experienced the good and the bad. And for those of you that want to catch up, or if you have a copy of my my book, Million Dollar Bedroom, there's a section in there called How to Think Like a Search Engine. So we'll see if any of that stuff still flies. But Kevin, why don't we just start our conversation today with a little bit about you and your backstory?
Sure. So I do miss the old days when you can throw all the important keywords and make them six Fs so it hides in the background. But those days are gone a long, long time ago. So Green Banana SEO, this is our 16th year. We actually started off as a web dev shop, and we're starting to get asked about clients that were asking for SEO. About 14 years ago, we got into search engine optimization, and we did it like everybody else, which is time and materials. And we billed people for the work that we did and did all these presentations. And I remember doing a presentation for a boardroom that we had been, for a client we've been working with for about a year. And I spent all night putting all these presentations together, brought it to everybody. They didn't even look at it. And they said, what did we hire you for? And this was a client that we had done web work for, that we had a really good trusting relationship with. And I started to realize that there's so much information about SEO, and it's so convoluted and can be really confusing, that in the middle of the meeting, I said, how about this? We get you ranked on page one for the keywords you pick. If we don't rank you, don't pay us. If we rank you, pay us. But I'm not doing this report anymore. And they said, great. So I left thinking I either made a massive mistake or this could be something that works. And that's really what 90% of our clients are performance-based SEO. The secret is no secret. We just, if we think we have a really good chance at ranking something, we'll work with a client and say, if we you know, rank you, you pay this. If we don't rank you, you don't pay. If you lose your ranking, you don't pay. We don't do anything sneaky. We just follow the rules and it seems to work.
You know, you say mastering page one SEO and, you know, so you're going to have to be in the top 10 search results for various keywords on Google. Let's be realistic, folks. It's all Google. Right. And you know, with that, that's really crowded space because there's a lot of people out there competing for it. You know, when we talk about like page one SEO, I mentioned I have a section in my book, Million Dollar Bedroom, and had some experience back in the olden days. You know, I also experienced the ups and downs of doing things that aren't all white hat. And, you know, I'd say from my own experience, I wasn't doing this through an agency, but, you know, be careful about who you work with. Find, you know, find people that have 16 years of experience and stuff like that. Cause, you know, everything, you know, things have changed over the years. Although I still find that I think I'm on 15 years of doing this myself. And I've noticed that a lot of the stuff that there are some core ingredients to SEO that still work 16 years later, and they've kind of just become the foundation of it. Like when we get into page one SEO, like where do you start when it comes to all of it?
I mean, so you're right that a lot of the old things do still work. And I would say that because we're an agency and because we work with clients, we can't do all the fun black hat stuff. I know about them. I have friends that do it, but they always laugh at me because I have clients and they don't have clients. So you can, you know, black hat a site for affiliate, and if it gets tanked, then you just build another one. With we don't have that luxury when we have clients, so we have to be careful and make sure that we follow the rules. Before I talk about where to start, I think to dovetail back into what you had mentioned about how a lot of things are the same. If you think about Google's job is to return relevance, and how many ways can you tweak relevance and still continue it, have something be relevant, right? There's only so many ways you can say best deep dish pizza in Manhattan. And Google has, you know, 800 to 1100 algorithm changes a year. Do you think people are making 800 to 1100 changes? And if they did, how could you still be relevant? How can you change it that much and still maintain relevance? So for us, the first thing that we start with is the keyword phrase. Like, what keyword phrase do you want to rank for? If clients get confused or they don't want to pull the trigger on an SEO deal, we push them into an AdWords campaign because we can get them on page one in 2 days and then see if that keyword works or it doesn't work. Once they have the keyword, then we go and see who's ranking for that keyword phrase. And we look at the aggregate data of everyone who's ranking and try to do a little bit more of what everyone else has. So one of the things that we look at, and a lot of SEOs that I get to speak with look at, is that Google will show its mystery in plain sight. So if you Google something, there's a reason that everyone's ranking on page one, and they all have a lot of commonalities that make their page more relevant for that, or how many links that go to their site that are specific to that. So that is generally it. There's also a site health component that I think is really important. If, you know, if the site doesn't work on mobile, Google is they're not going to reward you for that. If the site doesn't have an SSL, it's going to be harder to climb with that. If it takes 15 minutes to load, Google's going to kind of ding you for that, but you got to fix all that stuff anyways to give the user a good experience. So when people call and say, how much does site load speed matter to SEO? It's a component. It's not a huge component, but it matters to everyone else that uses your site. So you got to do it anyways.
Yeah. Well, when I look at SEO, you know, as mentioned, I had some experience with this, and I'll give a little bit of background. So, 2009-ish, just started building websites. I was in the ticket business, like event tickets at the time. And, you know, we were marketing affiliate sites and marketplace type transactions. And, As mentioned at the top of the show, you could get away with a lot of stuff then. There was a lot of tricky little things. The search engine algorithms weren't quite as sophisticated as they are now. There was also more search engines, you know, that Google kind of took the whole pie on that.
Lycos and
Ask Jeeves and Yahoo they were out there, MSN, AOL.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's how old we are. Yeah. But with that, you know, as mentioned in my book, there's a few technical things that they're not even that technical. They're basic things. And I find myself saying, think like a search engine a lot. So search engines are mildly predictable in that regard. Mm-hmm. Like you have a web page and that page has a title, it has a description, it has some headers, it has some content. And it can also have some other components in it, images or videos or things like that. And as you mentioned, Google's job is to put you on top of a relevant, useful page, right? Like give you the answers that you're looking for. In my opinion, I've always felt that if you have a well-rounded, so if you want to be, all right, so I just purchased a farm property and I have been Googling away, Kevin. I have been using local search, organic search, paid search I look at a lot of people's stuff and I'm like, oh man, this is terrible. But with that, like if you want to be found for deck contractors, you should have that in your page title.
Right. I mean, so one of the things I always say to people is that Google's job is to really keep people using Google, right? So they're going to reward relevance, because if you Google the word basketball, Wikipedia outranks the NBA usually, because that page, not the website, but the page is more relevant to the keyword phrase basketball than any other page on the internet. So that's, you always want to remember that Google just wants people to keep using it. So trying to trick them isn't going to work as effectively as we are the most important page. We have the most complete information about deck building in, you know, Topeka than anybody else does.
Yeah. And, you know, so with that, we don't have to get too far into it, but I mean, these are basic things about a web page, whether it's a landing page, a home page, a blog page, any of that, and that title and what your URL, known as your URL slug, what comes after the forward slash, I still find, because, you know, at Full Scale, we publish, you know, 4 to 6 blogs a week, and we use the same exact formula that I was using 15 years ago. Now, I mentioned getting penalized at one point. I wrote about that in my book, too. I think with SEO, it's real easy to get greedy and a hurry and want to take shortcuts. I had gotten to the point where I had taken a lot of shortcuts. So at one point, my ticket site ranked number one for the term Justin Bieber tickets.
Wow.
Ticketmaster was second. And, you know, now here's the thing, in 2009, when that was, or 2010, when that was occurring, I actually developed a fear that he would announce a tour, because he didn't. And I was worried it would just crash my website for days.
Wow.
Because that was before cloud computers, stuff like that. But we did that through some Black Hat stuff. You know, you remember Paul and Angela links, maybe, and where, you know, they send you, you could build your own anchor text links and stuff like that. And then we probably got penalized for that, and then also caught a duplicate content penalty, because we had learned that within our blog, we could add tags that were creating duplicate pages, basically. But at the time, the URL, Google loved that. So I went from like a couple grand a day and truly passive income to nothing in a 10-day period. And I mean, think about that, folks. For, you know, 50 to 75 grand a month, which feels like it's on cruise control. And that's where I say you get greedy. You're like, oh, this is working here. Do it again. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. After I got penalized on that site, it never came back. There was nothing I ruined that brand. So I ruined my brand at the time and had to go back and kind of build some different stuff around it. That's where, like I said, like that's, I think when we talk about page one SEO, I think maybe my first advice is don't get greedy. Much like building a business, page one SEO comes with time. It takes, and if you're not doing it in in the appropriate amount of time. That's a big red flag for search engines too, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if people aren't sure what greedy means, go with your gut and think about if your site has 150 links and then on Friday it has 25,000, Google's going to say, how did they get 150 in 4 years and they just got 25,000? It doesn't make sense.
Unless those all come from like the highest trust websites. And
exactly. If you made it on page one of, Fox, CNN, New York Times, then that's going to make sense. Right. But it's still not going to be from, if you buy something on Fiverr, they're probably going to get lazy and throw it up on a PBN with one IP address.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second, Kevin, because and in my book, I kind of pick on SEO people a little bit. Now, you've got a professional operation, 16 years in business, but man, there are a lot of people out there that are, and please don't take this the wrong way. It's already in the book, so I can't unquote myself, but I say the term SEO expert for many is an oxymoron. Because like you mentioned, you have friends that are good at SEO, but a lot of those folks, if you're really good at it, like you kind of pivoted into a service offering, but the people I know that have been the most brilliant at SEO aren't actually selling the services all the time.
Right.
They've at least had a period in which they kind of did it for themselves. And then, that has ups and downs. Because as you mentioned, thousands of algorithmic changes, what works today might put you in the shitter tomorrow.
Right.
And that was one of the most heart-wrenching feelings I'd ever had. Was going from a couple grand a day passive to almost nothing.
Yeah, like, that's tough. Yeah.
I mean, it made me want to throw up.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, so my friends that are in SEO that don't have agencies all make fun of me. Right? So I happen to like talking with people and talking and have clients. And we also run lots of other services like AdWords and Facebook and LinkedIn and web dev. So that really goes in nicely with it. But what's black hat and what's not. If you follow the rules with Google, it might take you a little longer to rank, but it's also like, I don't lose sleep over an algorithm change because I'm not trying to do something, because we really can't do it for clients and you can't do it with pay for performance SEO, because when Google figures it out, I can't lose all my revenue overnight.
Yep.
So it's just easy. So even though it takes longer to rank and longer to climb, save the fun, scary black hat stuff for sites that you own that you're not going to freak out if you take down and making you $2,000 a day.
And $2,000 a day is nothing compared to what there's been a couple big like publicly traded brands. Okay, so I remember, gosh, this was probably like 2011, 2012, JCPenney's got hammered by Google because they were running an exploit where they would pay so the .edu domains were highly trusted and did really well. And a lot of people had a little kind of blogging component or something where you could make a page. And JCPenney's was paying college students, giving them $50 and $100 gift cards to literally copy and paste the copy that they provided. And so it was linking to links that said like Blue Jean and stuff like that. Google figured that out either algorithmically or manually and just hammered them. And when you get penalized, folks, you don't just move down a couple spots, you're gone. You just don't show up in the listings.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about the impact of that. That same day that came out, I think, and not like JCPenney's is a massive growth stock here in 2023, but at the time they were still relevant. Their stock price cut itself in half like the same day that came out. Because if you are at the top, I mean, think about all that organic traffic and what that's worth. Now, where I kind of want to roll into this is like, I got to imagine you talk to clients. I think if you want to master page one SEO, you got to have realistic expectations. Like if I show up in your office, I'm like, I want to rank first on my brand new website for the term Blue Jeans. Yep. I don't have to run Green Banana SEO to say that's not happening anytime soon.
Right. We say, you know what? We have an AdWords program for that. I can get you on page one tomorrow with Google AdWords. With SEO, buckle up because it's going to take a long time.
Yeah. So like here in 2023, where there's a lot of people that have 20-year head starts on us.
Right.
I mean, could you even get, if you want, I mean, that sounds to me like an impossible task on some things. Like the idea of ranking number one for Justin Bieber tickets again over Ticketmaster.
Right.
And his website feels really improbable.
I mean, if someone has a million links and you want to get those legitimately,
you need to think
about how long that's going to take and what that's going to cost.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So, if someone called and said, get us on, you know, do a pay for performance program for Justin Bieber tickets, we wouldn't take that on. Or we'd say, you know, it's going to cost you this, and then they wouldn't call us back.
Right, so, right. Well, and here's the thing is, and thank you, Biebs, for being our example here. But there's like an encyclopedia of keywords that realistically, like you could end up in there. Now let's talk about the depreciating nature of the front page for organic. Cause I don't know if this is still the case, but like 70% of searchers will click the first result. It's like 40 and like 15 or something low like that for even the third spot. So if you want to master the first page, you got to begin to master the first five, preferably the first three. Everyone wants to be number one. That's not always possible, but I mean, there's a big decline in the results, and being spot 10 isn't so great. Even if you're
spot 10 is a win, but you absolutely have to push it up. But what usually if you make it to spot 10, then it's usually links that push you up from there on. Maybe a few tweaks.
Well, I want to talk about something that I guarantee everyone listening can get on the first page for if done well. Before I do that, I want to remind everyone that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult. It's the same way with expert SEO people. You got to look hard for them. They're tough to find. But if you go to fullscale.io, you can build a software team quickly and affordably. You can use Fullscale's platform to define your technical needs and see what available developers, testers, and leaders ready to join your team. Go to fullscale.io to learn more. We're talking about mastering the first page. I think one of the things that too many small businesses overlook is the importance of local. Just the local search. Like, you know, I mentioned we use deck contractors because I'm working on building a deck. So I put that in, I put the location of where my property was, and you always get those three, maybe five results that kind of show on the map.
Yep.
I've talked to many of the service providers that have come by, and I've had a bunch of them. And some of them, the smart ones, ask me how I heard about them. And I say that, and they say, shit, I hear that a lot. That means it's working because you show up, you're relevant and local. Now with that, if you want to do the local search correctly, the first thing you got to do is go in there and fill out all the spots they have. They give you an option to put up five pictures, you know, like pick everything. Don't go in and fill out 30% of the listing.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, what's a nice, easy trick is Bing. So do a Bing map, because Bing, there's a lot of evidence that Google takes some signaling from Bing. Getting on a Bing map is a super piece of cake. It's the same exact thing. You can put more stuff up there. But a lot of times we'll do that for a client, like get Bing, even if they don't care about it. Like sometimes we don't even tell them, we tell them, but we're not going to charge them for it, just to get that up. So it will help the Google map, but you're absolutely right. Filling out that entire thing and then embedding that map into the contact page or the local page, because you're taking Google's favorite link, which is them, and putting it in your page.
The same thing flies for YouTube videos. That's why I always try to, you know, create little, you know, embed them in. And, you know, hey, because once again, if you think like a search engine, the search engine's going to like the page that has the most relevant information. And let's be realistic, Google's going to like their own shit more than they're going to like someone else's. That's okay, too. They're running a business, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. So, I mean, I think if your local search isn't filled out, then I don't think you're serious about mastering page one. I've thought about that a lot, Kevin. Like, I mean, can you imagine like how many transactions occur every single day because someone finds a small or even a large business in the simple local search.
Right. House painter near me, lawnmower near me, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Any HVAC, huge, super important.
Yeah. And then, and like I said, if you haven't filled that out, you're doing something wrong. Now filling that out isn't always good. I think you still got to run a clean shop and have a great business. Cause I'll tell you what, I've run across a bunch of service providers and people that, that, you know, anyone that's providing services, but I'm sitting there looking and they got a 3.1 out of 5 rating.
Yeah.
Not impressive.
Right.
So you got to keep up with that stuff too. Cause just cause someone finds you doesn't mean they're necessarily going to call.
Yeah. And the review thing, I had a guy call me and said, hey, someone, I'm on the map. Someone did something bad to my site, so I'm not getting any business. And I looked and I'm like, you have a 2-star rating. Your reviews suck. That's why you're not getting business. No one did anything to your website. But the game of reviews is understanding that every 15 that you ask for, you're going to get one. So if just make it a habit and keep asking, then in 2 years, you're not going to have a problem anymore. And you have to have reviews because especially if you're in a service-based business, you're going to piss somebody off.
Oh yeah.
So they're going to write a review about that they're not happy about something. So
it's just and you don't want that. You don't want that to be one of 3 total reviews where the other 2 are from your mom and your sister.
Right. And it will happen. You're in this business. You're going to get, it could just be like, we got a bad review from someone that didn't even work on the account. Like the woman that worked in the account got let go. New guy comes on. We don't get along with them. There you go.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's the nature of business.
Yeah. And that, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about, here, a couple other basics along the way. Don't have shitty content.
Mm-hmm.
Google's pretty smart. They know, like, you know, if it has like, I don't know, if you're going to write a blog article and it's 50 words, it might not like that.
It's too thin. They won't even pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So now when it comes to like overall, like I want to talk a little bit about the long tail. And for those of you that might not know what I'm talking about, picture a graph and on the left side of it, it charts pretty high and then it rapidly begins to decline to the point of maybe just the number one. And then it just kind of goes on for infinity. It looks like a long tail. I have made a living in the long tail. Long tail marketing is essentially going after the low hanging fruit. Now we mentioned, could you rank for the term Justin Bieber tickets? Probably not highly, but you might be able to rank for Justin Bieber tickets in Indianapolis or something like that. That's a little more niche down. I think that the long tail is more relevant than ever. Cause according to Google, people are entering longer, more specific, and even question-related searches at an all-time high. But that, like I said, that long tail, and you know, it just involves a little creativity. We say you're not going to rank number one for the term blue jeans, but you might rank number one for the term blue jeans with a heart on the back pocket or something like that. Now, you got to do a lot more work to get those pages out there, but some of that hyper-specific stuff can be really good for things that are at least somewhat unique.
And that will help you rank your higher target keywords. So all ships seem to rise with the tide when it comes to SEO. But you go back to your deck scenario. If you're starting a new deck business and you can't make it on page one for decks, you know, deck builder in, why don't you do like composite decking or composite deck repair in things that you do, deck railing installation. You're going to have to write content about your deck page. Those pages are going to go off of that deck page. They're going to go support that page. You start to get wins on that. And I guarantee you that's going to push up your big, hairy, audacious goal page.
Yeah. And you know that, and once again, like that's hyper specific. Now, I think one of the keys with that is I think a lot of people get back to that shortcuts thing. They're going to want to just make the same page and put like every city in America and the title. And you know what? That might work. You also might get yourself in the same boat I got myself in, which is too much duplicate content. And
you can't do that.
That is definitely one of the things that search engines hate. Now, I'm curious what your take is on how all this generative AI is going to affect SEO. Because, you know, here it comes, like, I mean, ChatGPT can write me a better blog article faster, remarkably faster than I can write it. Wow, that seems great. I can get it to do all this crazy stuff for me. What's your take on the generative AI? I mean, it's been out there on some levels, but never quite as ChatGPT, try to hit the bottom, folks. It'll give you a lot of, it takes a while for ChatGPT to be like, no, you asked too much.
So I have a couple thoughts on that. First of all, I love ChatGPT. We use it here. But what we use it for is to create a framework and then we typically rewrite it. But if you look at, if I had to write a 2000 word article, normally it would take me 2 days to do it. Chat does it in, you know, what, a couple iterations, it does it in, you know, like 2 minutes. But then to rewrite it takes you a few hours. So now I've gone from 2 days to a few hours. So rather than getting greedy and saying, I'm just going to cut and paste what they put in, because it is very predictive. Like I went on the long, you and I are going to go on a long walk on the beach and then it's going to say at night. But we would say we went on a long walk holding, you know, drinking a few beers, playing football on the beach. So you want to make it not as predictive. But my conspiracy theory, because it's one of my favorite things, is that I don't understand how how much content, you know what ChatGPT is. Most of the people listening this, if you haven't used it, you need to use it, but most of the people listening to this have used it. So think about how much content is getting pumped out on the minute by minute basis. I don't think Google can keep up with that. So how is that going to impact SEO? Are they going to be able to crawl things anymore? Are they going to hit a crawl budget? I mean, how can they possibly compute the fact that the number of pages that are going into a search engine has gone up by 1,000-fold almost overnight? That's what I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to GPT, I'll tell you, like, the use case I'll use it for, you know, if you think about any article or content or whatever it is that you're going to create, you want it to have your voice. You know, if you're now, maybe you're a brand and it's not specific to that, but good writing has a good voice. I'll write the actual segues in between, where GPT has saved me like just an crazy amount of time is the research. You know, what are 10 things or 25 of this, or even just use it as a muse, you know, like, I mean, we'll be, you know, planning our next flight of content articles. And I asked it recently, I said, what are 25 titles for blogs that a software development company should be writing?
That's great.
And it gave me 25 great titles. We 23 of 25. Made it to the list. And there might've been a couple things. Now, please don't be that person that's like, it only does 90% of what I need it to. If you can find software that does 90% of what you need it to on anything, you've won.
Exactly.
You've won. There's nothing that does 100% of what you need unless it just does one very simple thing.
Right. And you're 100% right. Like the example that I gave before is, you know, what used to take us 4 days now takes us 4 hours. We could do it in 2 minutes, but we're not.
Yeah,
you go through that extra step. And the research part, like we have fintech clients, we have biotech clients. No one knows what T7 DNA ligase is or how to use it. It's poop, by the way. But you put that into chat and it's going to come out with some stuff and the client will come back with, we need to revise this, but who do you have on board that knows this stuff? it's pretty awesome to help you get a good base.
We run into that with our writing team because they're trained to be writers. They aren't trained to be like technical writers for software, which is different. And here's the thing is with our writing team, they're in the Philippines, like met all of our developers and testers, but I had to kind of force them to try it more because there was a trust factor. They were worried that it wasn't going to be inaccurate. And I literally said to the team, I said, I don't want to hear anybody else tell me that they that they don't have, they think that they can somehow do it better. Like, don't tell me you don't trust or believe in the world's most powerful generative AI engine.
Right.
Like, it's still better and faster and more accurate than you will be. Now, that said, definitely found errors in GPT's response, but on some of it, for like the stuff we write about in the Full Scale blog, not at all.
Right, but you can read it though and see, right?
Yeah. Some of it, like if I ask it who I am, and it will, it's about 70% accurate. According to GPT though, I founded Full Scale with another guy I've never even heard of 5 years before we actually did it. So how it came up with that, no freaking clue.
Wow.
But yeah, at the same time too, like if you're looking, if you wanted to create content, if you ask GPT to write you an article and you can add the phrase in the voice and tone of, and just pick someone like Gary Vaynerchuk or whoever. Right. And like, you get a variety of things. Like I actually use the Gary V one mainly because I swear a lot and kind of pick on some weird topics, but yeah, it'll give you some unique twist to that. And yeah, and then you can kind of go in and rewrite.
That's a great idea.
I've read some different articles because we were trying to decide how we wanted to use it with our own content. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh, Google's going to detect this. Are they? Like,
so, like, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping up with the volume.
That's my point. Part of it.
If you read anything from chat, it is super predictive. I think if you go in and massage it enough to make it not predictive, then I don't think you're going to get picked up. Like I read an article that chat has some kind of a pixel or a cookie that they put in. That's crap, right?
How?
You can't, like, right? Exactly.
Like whoever, in my browser, there's no cookie in there. Those are text.
No, that's just, they just made that up to probably get an article read. Yeah, I don't think that exists.
But that's my point. It's like there's a lot of shit out. Like no one knows. Yeah.
No one knows.
Now you could very much, once again, put yourself back in that same problem I did with duplicate content. But duplicate content means being either repeating the same page a whole bunch of times or taking someone else's content and posting it. One of my comments when this has been months now since GPT came out, I said, hey, if we're the first people to publish it, it's not duplicate.
Right.
So,
and also think about syndication. You take an article, you put it out on the newswire, and it's syndicated 1,000 different places. Is that duplicate content? Because it's really not. So, and if I, you know, I'm a veterinarian and I have 15 offices, do I treat a cat differently in Boston than I do in, you know, Minnesota? Right. So there has to be some, I think Google understands that. And gives you a little leeway on some duplicate.
Yeah. Well, some of that I think is the strength of your domain. And like, I think that's probably where we should move towards kind of wrapping up this episode a little bit, because we teased a little bit with what some of the, you know, the basic tenets are. You've got what you see on the page. There's also things you see off the page. I think that having a basic understanding of that is good, just like what header tags are and like how to make an anchor text link, meaning like, Google's that stuff's still relevant. I agree with you when you said that like page load, like Google doesn't want to give results to pages that don't load. How long do you wait for anything to load? Because if your page isn't loading right away, I'm just clicking back and going to the next one on the list.
You're going to get frustrated. Google doesn't want to reward frustration. They want people to keep using Google because not everyone's smart. And they're going to say, it doesn't work because I use Google. That's not the truth, but Google wants to make sure that that doesn't happen.
What's the current state in 2023 of the backlink?
Like, it's important.
Is it still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have like one, there's little coding tags in there, follow and no follow.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like if you have a no follow tag on the link that points to your site, that's worth nothing almost.
No, Google still sees it. I think follow's better, but Google still sees it. You know, you probably use Ahrefs. That's a great tool to see what competitors' links that have and what ones that you have that actually worked. One of the things that I've noticed is that it takes Google at least a month to see the links to give you credit for it, even if you see them on Ahrefs before that. But I think it's an important part. But let's say you're a local business and you sponsor your kid's softball team, like that crappy high school website has been kicking around since Al Gore invented the internet, and getting a link from that is actually really good.
This might be really good.
Like that can, like, Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. So before you freak out about link building, there's some kind of easy wins if you just think about it.
Yeah. Well, I think some of it too is, everyone's got a social account, you have a million of those things. And, like LinkedIn now has a services offered option that you can fill in that gives you a link to what you sell. And I was able to make mine say hire software developers.
Right.
Those are good keywords for what we sell. And it's also just good to have on your page and your profile that lead to the same place, because that's a good thing. You got to go through, and you can definitely do some basic organic link building with the properties that you already have. And, and then I think some of the things too, it's like, I don't know, man, I get like six freaking emails a day wanting link exchanges, or like this whole economy's come up. That's like, I don't know. I don't respond to any of them. Just cause I got other shit to do, but what's the best way to get some links other than like the stuff you already have?
I think syndication, press releases.
Okay. Yeah. So in order to syndicate something, like if I wanted to write an article, so I actually do that. I'm a contributor at ink.com, and, here come those articles, and they're linking to different things, and that gets syndicated some different places. But you can write an article or a press release, put a couple links in it for probably about $100, send that out on a lot of PR newswire kind of thing.
There's a lot of services that you can use that do that.
I don't think you're going to get traffic from that. I think you get traffic maybe from the links and like the boost.
Right. You don't get traffic from that. Because if you're going to spend $100 on a news wire, they're going to stick them in the back. You're not making the front page of the Globe.
Back to the whole idea of tempering your idea of what can and could be occurring. All right, so we're here at the end of another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. If you want to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, Fullscale can help. We have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. Go to fullscale.io. There's a link for that in the show notes. There's also a link to Green Banana SEO. On the way out, whenever I'm with a founder, I like to do what I call the founder's freestyle, give you an opportunity to say whatever you'd like to say on the way out. We've had people rap, sing, do poetry, and then the most common one, which is just kind of talking about what stood out in our conversation today. If you can rap that, then you'll have
that would be amazing. The reason I'm in this business is because I can't do anything else. I could ask
ChatGPT to write a rap about Google SEO.
That would be amazing.
It's generating it right now. You're in for a good one. But
I think my favorite part is we're in such alignment about it. It's clear that you've been doing SEO for a long time, and the questions that you asked were great. I would say, I don't know. I would say a more philosophical thing that's not SEO related is that, I've been doing this for a long time. Every single time I have a plan to succeed, it never happens the way I think, every single time. So it's one of the hardest things to do for me for growing and expanding a business, is that nothing is predictable. Things always seem to come out well, but it never, ever happens the way that I think it's going to happen. And I think the more that I can internalize that, the easier life is. Right.
You mentioned my freestyle. I hear what you're saying. I have done SEO a long time ago. I haven't done SEO, quite honestly, in years. The constant changing of the algorithms and all of that, like, I'm telling you, it's really deflating to do a whole lot of work and do a lot of stuff, and then that works, and then you feel like it all got undone. I've had that happen a couple times, and with that, like, I'm like,
So you're familiar with the Pareto principle, right? 80-20 rule.
Oh yeah.
So 80% of those changes are things you don't need to worry about because they're trying to catch the bad guys from doing things you're not supposed to do. So don't do what you're not supposed to do. You only have to worry about 20%.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, and you know, there's, I mean, overall, I think that what's important though is, you know, build a good foundation, do the basic things. Like if you want to be on page one, you got to do the basic stuff. It's like the very first thing that Kevin said is that we're going to look at a client. We're going to go and look and see who's ranking for those keywords. We understand what our target market is, what we're trying to find, having reasonable expectations, seeing what other people that are doing that's working. And I guarantee you those people that are already on the top page are doing the basic stuff as described. Like that's, you know, that's having your pages labeled the right way and having good descriptions and having decent content and a page that loads quickly and, you know, some of that. And if you just opened your website, like if it just hit the net, you're not going to rank real high real fast because Google's onto that one too. They like to see that aged a little bit. So if you're thinking about starting a new business and you haven't thought of a name or a domain, maybe go buy one that exists, you know, and
there you go.
Be careful with that too. You want to make sure you didn't buy one that's penalized, but there's some ways to search that. Anyway, dude, this goes on and on and on. I'm sure we could talk for about 5 episodes and then we'll have just scratched the surface. That's all the time we have today. So I'm going to catch up with you down the road, Kevin. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks. This is great. Thanks for having me.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.